We're nearing the end of our sermon series on the seven deadly sins, and we've got a great one today. Today we're talking about the sin of sloth, and I got to be honest with you, before starting my preparations for this message, I wasn't quite sure where it was going to take us, but I promise it's something good. I really enjoyed getting into it, and I think you'll get a lot out of it as well. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's a reflection on King Solomon's life, where he contemplates what the meaning of life is all about. And our text this morning comes from the very beginning of the book, where King Solomon is bemoaning the woes of a life lived without God and proclaims that everything is meaningless without him. So hear the word of the Lord this morning from Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 to 9. The words of the teacher, son of David, king in Jerusalem. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher, utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from all of their labors at which they toil under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun sets and hurries back to where it rises again. The wind blows to the south and turns to the north. Round and round it goes, ever returning on its course. All streams flow into the sea, yet the sea is never full. To the place the streams come from, they return again. All things are wearisome, more than one can say. The eye has never had enough of seeing, nor the ear its fill of hearing. What has been will be again. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Sloth is a kind of old-fashioned type of word. And I got to be honest, before I started studying for this message, I wasn't quite sure what the church fathers were thinking and where this message was going to lead us. It's not a word that we use frequently, and it makes me think that it belongs in an old-fashioned movie or novel with the these and thous and the days of yore. The word itself brings to mind thoughts of lazy, slow-moving kind of days. Painstakingly slow moments and decisions. No concern in the world for anything at all. This condition of slothfulness is actually so distinct that there's an animal named after it, the sloth. And I got a cute little sloth picture here for you guys. And these lucky guys do nothing but sit around and nap all day. They nap for 20 hours a day, and then they eat, and then they, you know, hang off their tree some more, and then they nap. And they've got it great. But when we're talking about the sin of sloth and the sin of laziness, there's a lot more to it than this. But I wanted to share with you a little video clip to help you get the picture of what it means to be slothful. And there's no other illustration I can think of that would do it better than the Disney movie Zootopia. You might have seen it before, but the story goes like this. There's this unlikely pair, Judy Hopps a bunny and Nick Wilde a fox, and they set off on this frantic chase to try to figure out the mystery of the disappearing animals. And the odds are stacked against them, and they finally making some leeway and getting where they need to go, and they make a quick stop by the DMV to ask a favor from their friend Flash. And well, let me show you how well that goes. Watch with me.
At the DMV. Flash is the fastest guy in there. You need something done, he's on it.
I hope so. We are really fighting the clock and every minute counts. Wait. They're all sloths?
Are you saying that because he's a sloth, he can't be fast? I thought in Zootopia, anyone could be anything.
Flash, Flash, 100-yard dash. Buddy, it's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Hey, Flash, I'd love you to meet my friend. Darling, I've forgotten your name.
Officer Judy Hopp, CPD, how are you?
I am doing just
fine.
As well as I can. be? What?
Hang in there.
Can I do?
Well, I was hoping you could run a plane
for you.
Well, I was hoping you could
today.
Well, I was hoping you could run a plate for us. We are in a really big hurry.
Sure. What's the plate?
29 T
number.
Hey, Flash, want to hear a joke?
No!
Sure.
What do you call a three-humped camel?
I don't know. What do you call a
three-humped camel?
Three-humped camel.
Pregnant.
Very funny. Can we please just focus on the
time? Hey.
Wait.
Priscilla.
Oh, no.
Yes? Flash?
What? Do.
No.
You call.
A three-humped camel. Pregnant. Okay, great. We got it. Please.
Humped. Here.
Yes. Hurry.
You.
Thank you.
29
THD-03.
Go.
It's registered to Tundertown Limo Service. A limo took Otterton, and the limo's in Tundertown. It's in Tundertown.
Way to hustle, bud. I love you. I owe you.
Hurry. We've got to beat the rush hour in. It's night.
Oh, you got to love the DMV. I am much more like Judy Hopps than I would like to admit, let me tell you. And just watching this video makes me anxious. The slow molasses-type speed just drives me crazy. But believe it or not, when we're talking about the seven deadly sins, the church fathers had something even more deadly than this in mind. And sloth, the word comes from Latin, and it's acedia. And that's what the church fathers would have meant. That word was so much richer than our word for sloth now, or laziness, because in it comes an understanding of a spiritual weariness or despair. It's not just laziness, it's not just slowness, but it's a weariness of the soul. There's an element of giving up on life when we talk about sloth in this context. You've seen it all, you just don't care anymore. There's an indifference to the joys of this world, and you can't be bothered by the suffering that you see around you either. Your heart's just not stirred by God's good creation. You've done it all. You've seen it all. So why be bothered? It's similar to the feeling that we find in our scripture reading this morning. Here, King Solomon is reflecting on his life without God, and it almost sounds like he had given up hope. Meaningless, he says. Everything is meaningless. What do people gain from their labors? Generations come and go, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the wind blows, yet nothing ever comes of it. What has been will be, and what has been done will be done again. There's nothing new under the sun, he says. It almost sounds like King Solomon is slipping into despair here. What's the point? What difference can I make? Why should I bother? And that's the sentiment that the church fathers were getting after when they named sloth one of the seven deadly sins. While we might not experience this depth of despair on a daily basis, some of us may have experienced it before. But even if we don't know it to the full depth, it's still something that's so easy to slip into, a temptation that's so quick to give into. And think about it. How often have you given up hope on a worthy task just because it was more difficult than you expected? You ran into roadblocks or it took longer than you thought it would, so you gave up on a good task. Or how many times have you walked by somebody in need or driven by a homeless person holding a sign on the side of the road saying they needed help? You didn't even give it a second thought because you've heard all about the pain and the suffering of this world and you're fed up with it. You just don't want to think about it anymore. Or what about this? Who among us is innocent of this? We come home from a long day of work or school and we're tired and we tell ourselves we're just going to sit down for a minute and put our feet up. We get into that couch and we get something to drink, we take our shoes off, and we don't get back up until it's time to go back to bed and get up the next day and do it all over again. We slip into a TV coma. We're completely unaware of the friends and family that we're surrounded by. It's easy to fool ourselves into thinking that sloth is just about laziness or not doing enough. And we think if we just keep busy that we're safe from this sin. Or we look at our schedules and we see how busy we already are and we know that we for sure can't be slothful. But it's just not true. A slothful man can be a busy man indeed. Somebody who goes to church, works, volunteers, serves on community boards, goes round and round and round with their time, not a moment to spare, but not present in the moment either. Sloth can look like just going through the motions, somebody living life on autopilot. Makes me think of that feeling you get when you have a head cold and everything's just a little dulled. You can't quite hear or taste or smell, and it's like a fog around your head, and yet you drag yourself to work and you drag yourself to school, but you're not really there. You're just there in body, but not in spirit or heart. One author had a great analogy to it. He says, sloth is like millions of people moving through life like zombies, staying outwardly busy, but not finding much to live for. The real problem with sloth is an indifference to the world around us, an attitude that says, I just can't be bothered anymore, and we give up. And sloth is a sin against God because when we indulge in it, we stop caring about the things that God tells us to care about. And it's a sin against ourselves because we deny ourselves the ability to use our gifts and our talents and our heart and our passion to make a difference here in this world. Frank Craddock says it well. He says, sloth is the ability to look at a starving child curled up in front of a store window with a swollen stomach and say, well, it's not my kid. Or to look at a recent widow huddled under a gray shawl and peering out at a gray world and say, it's not my mom. Or to see an old man sitting among the pigeons in the park and say, well, that's not my dad. It's the capacity of the human spirit to look out upon the world and everything that God made and said, I don't care. There's real danger here. A lot of people think that tornadoes and suffering and world wars are the real threat to faith in America. But William Willimon says in his book, Sinning Like a Christian, that the deadliest threat is a simple erosion of our faith. It's the morning after that midnight encounter with God that's the greatest spiritual challenge. We've all felt that high of knowing and seeing and tangibly hearing God. We know that joy. But how do we keep it going the next day? How do we experience our faith in the normal times of life as well? I know our hearts break over church members who have left our congregation, and I know nationally that people have been leaving the church in record numbers. And yes, for some of those people, they leave because they're hurt or they're angry or they disagree with the teachings of the church. But by and large, I think most people just drift away. something comes up one Sunday and they can't go, and then the next Sunday they're tired and they need to catch up on chores, and then the next Sunday they hit snooze one too many times, and we just fade away from our faith. We fade away from our God. And that's what sloth does to us. It eats away at our soul, and it extinguishes that fire that we're supposed to keep burning for God. And it takes its toll on us, wearing us down one indifference at a time. There are a lot of causes for sloth. For many, it's the overwhelming pain we see in this world. We see how much hurt and brokenness there is, and we don't know how to respond, so we close ourselves off, and we turn a blind eye. For others, it's the busyness that saps the joy away from us. We're doing so much that we just don't enjoy it anymore, and so we stop. Others still slip into sloth the same way that two lovers drift out of love. By not nurturing that intimate relationship with God, by not making time in our lives for our first love. And yet, no matter how we arrive there, the results of sloth are the same. An indifference towards my soul, my God, my neighbor, and my world. We see it in the Old Testament prophet Jonah, who cared so little for the people of Nineveh that when asked by God to go and share his love with them, he ran away and refused to be a part of God's plan for this life. We see it in the rich young ruler who excitedly goes up to Jesus and asks what he has to do to receive eternal life, but walks away sad because he knew he didn't want it enough to sacrifice what Jesus was asking him to sacrifice. And we see it in the disciples who fell asleep not once, not twice, but three times in the garden when Jesus asked them to stay with him and stay asleep and wait for his last day on earth to come, simply because they were unable to muster enough resolve to fulfill such a simple request for their Lord. And so sloth eats away at our hearts, and it causes us to be apathetic and distracted. And it keeps us from experiencing the life that God has invited us to live. Because of course God wants more for us than a life that's half lived, a life that's going through the motions only. It says in the Gospel of John that Jesus came so that we might have life and have it abundantly. And that's what God wants for us, abundant life. And yet so often we allow ourselves to slip into routines that doesn't allow room for passion or adventure or love. And we live dull, zombie-like lives. We miss out on the true zeal of life that we were created for. It takes great dedication and faith to maintain this kind of relationship with God, to not be lured into the temptation of sloth, lured into weariness and despair. But we must never lose sight of that first love, what made us fall in love with God for the first place. We need to find ways to nurture our own souls and our own spirit and hold on to the joy of the Lord that we have been given, that only God can provide. Because as King Solomon discovers throughout the rest of his book of Ecclesiastes, that wealth and riches and pleasure and power are all meaningless without God. The only thing that really matters is a life lived with our Savior. And so we must do everything we can to hold on to that life and keep that faith alive. As Paul says in Romans, we should not be slothful in our zeal, but fervent in spirit and service to the Lord. And that is what we must do. And here, as we are approaching the end of Lent and we're examining our lives, I must ask, how are you doing with this? Have you allowed yourself to be overcome by sloth? Have you lost that zeal you once had for God? And if so, what do you need to do to get it back? To nurture that relationship with God? To know His love and joy for your life? Friends, let's be ever diligent to guard against this truly deadly sin of sloth, to seek to love and serve God with all of our lives and all that we do. Let us pray. God, we are thankful that we have a God who understands us, who knows the temptations of our heart and the weariness of our soul, and who loves us anyway. God, we want with all of our hearts to love you passionately and to give our hearts to you and to serve you and to do great things for you. God, but sometimes those desires wear thin and our souls become weary. And if that's where we are today, God, I ask that you would lift us from that pain, that you would help us to overcome the temptation to give up. God, that you would remind us anew of why we fell in love with you, and that you would fill us with the zeal of the Lord that we were created for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.